Scripture reading this evening is from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Good to be back with you tonight. Hope everyone had a good, restful afternoon. We do indeed rejoice with the Tate and Jones family. They are blessed with their new additions, but those little babies are blessed too to be born in such good, faithful, God-fearing families. I have to tell Jake, though, that eating business is going to get worse and worse. He'll be eating more than you before you know it. All right, Romans chapter 12, another one of my favorite passages. And I made a statement here not too long ago, I think when I did a lesson on James chapter 1, that James is known as a very practical book. And I compared that to the book of Romans. Romans has been known over the years to be a very profound book. But I don't want you to misunderstand what I mean by that. There's no doubt that there are some passages in the book of James that are very profound. And there are some passages in the book of Romans that are very practical. And when we come to Romans chapter 12, it really begins the section of the book of Romans that is very practical in nature. And that is because he basically has concluded what is his basic thesis for the book of Romans, that is, the just shall live by faith. And he dealt with that in several different ways. One of the tragedies, I think, in the religious world is that so many people misunderstand Paul's teaching in the book of Romans on faith, that the just will live by faith. There's really no reason for that. He's very clear. And what he teaches, he certainly does not teach the faith-only doctrine, but he teaches that we're saved by an obedient faith in contrast to being saved by sinless living under a meritorious law, that is, the law of Moses. And it just boggles my mind that people believe, very smart people in denominational churches, preachers and pastors, scholars, who believe somehow that if we do anything in connection with our salvation, that robs God of his sovereignty. Like, that is, to me, just ridiculous. I don't know how intelligent people can come to that conclusion. And the fact of the matter is, they don't come to that conclusion in regard to other things in the Bible. Like, when we think about Naaman, you remember the Old Testament, how that if he was going to be cleansed from his leprosy, he had to dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And that because God commanded that he do that in order to be healed, that means somehow God lost his sovereignty? I don't know of anyone who would say yes. Or when the Israelites had to march around the city of Jericho and the priest and blow the trumpets because they had to follow those instructions, did God lose his sovereignty? No, I don't know of anyone who thinks that. And if that's the case, how is it that just because we follow some instructions that God sets forth, that we have to repent and be baptized, as we saw this morning, that robs God of his sovereignty? It's sad to me that so many people believe that because of the denominational teachings with regard to Paul's teaching in the book of Romans. But Paul deals with that, and he deals with it back and forth and in all kind of ways, because that's his, really, the theme of the book of Romans, the just shall live by faith. But when we come to Romans chapter 12, he's basically done with that. He has made his point and has made it well. And so now he deals in Romans 12 and 13 and 14 and the first part of 15, he begins to deal with how we live just from a practical standpoint. Now that you have been acquitted in heaven's court, Now that you have this new life in Christ, you're a new creature in Christ, you have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, saved by faith, how should you live your life from day to day? And that's what Paul deals with in these chapters, beginning in chapter 12. And that all begins with giving our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. And so we read in Romans chapter 12, as we just heard it in our hearing just a moment ago, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. And when he says by the mercies of God, he's basically saying in view of or because of the mercies of God. And one of the great things about God is his mercy. Thank God he is a merciful God. That he is a God of compassion and pity. He is by nature that kind of a God. You remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and at verse 3 that Paul refers to him as the Father of mercies. He gave birth to the very concept of being merciful. There hasn't ever been anyone who is as merciful as God. But because he is so merciful, I might say to you that he demands that we be merciful ourselves. You remember in the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3, read this just in passing. With regard to what God expects us to be, he wants us, of course, to be like him. And so because he is a merciful God, he wants us to be merciful as well. In chapter 3 and at verse 12, Paul writes, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, he says, compassionate hearts. The word compassion there is the same word that is translated mercies in other places, including Romans 12 at verse 1. But put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Why? Because that's the merciful thing to do. And God forgives us when we sin, as long as we repent of that sin. Why? Because he's a merciful God. But getting back to Romans chapter 12, Paul is saying he's about to make an appeal, but he recognizes that it is possible for us to fulfill that appeal because of the mercy of God. If God wasn't merciful, what Paul says next wouldn't even be possible. And so he says, by the mercies of God, I appeal. I am begging you. I think the King James says, I beseech you. So he's begging us, I'm begging you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And as you stop and think about that, that is practical teaching in God's Word. You want to be a genuine Christian? It matters how you live your life. And if there is something we should emphasize from just this one verse, Romans 12 and at verse 1, it is that. We should walk away tonight understanding how we live from day to day really matters. We have to live a life that is characterized by giving our bodies to God. And everything we do in these physical body matters. And there's been over the years so much teaching that contradicts that. The Gnostics, of course, in the second century denied that. They taught doctrines that indicated it doesn't really matter how you live your life. They believed that all matter was sinful anyway, and the body is matter, and so there's nothing we can do about it but sin. But as long as our spirit is okay and we love the Lord with our spirit, then we're okay. It doesn't matter how you live. And there were seeds of that being planted in the New Testament. And it's why we have passages like in 1 John chapter 1, where John, you remember, emphasizes this. This is the message, he said, that we have heard from here and declared to you, that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Why would he teach that? We might think, well, that's pretty common sense, really. But then again, Even if it is common sense, there's a lot of individuals in the body of Christ who don't live that way, who think, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and just like you taught this morning, I believed in Jesus, and I repented, and I was baptized, and so I'm okay. I'm going to heaven. And it really doesn't matter at the end of the day how I live. I don't think we would articulate it like that, but sometimes we live like we think, just like that. And, of course, I made mention a moment ago about the faith only, people who misunderstand Paul's teaching on faith. And the very doctrine, the faith only doctrine, leads to that conclusion that it really doesn't matter how you live. And so, because that is the primary teaching in denominational churches, many people in the world, and you see them all the time, they think they can just do anything they want to. They can live any way they want to. And they're going to be okay because they believe in Jesus. And that saying, how you live doesn't matter. We don't ever want to buy into that. Paul tells us in this one verse, it does matter how you live. In fact, he goes on to say, and we'll get back to this presenting our bodies to God, but he says, as living sacrifices, and then he says, holy and acceptable to God. The only kind of sacrifice that God has ever accepted was one that is holy. One that is without blemish. One that is set apart because of that. And so if we're going to offer a sacrifice to God that's acceptable, we have to be holy. It's a living sacrifice. So we're not talking about dead animals. We're talking about us and the thing sacrificed. Our body is the sacrifice. And so we have to live holy lives in this body. And again, that's important. And so he says, present your bodies as living sacrifices. In Romans chapter 6, turn your Bibles over there, and you remember what Paul said about this physical body. I have taught many times in the past, I'm sure a few times here, how important this physical body is. And I'm not going to get into all of that in this particular lesson. But a lot of times I will when I teach on things like this and on these passages, showing that God has a plan for this body that we have. He's going to change this body. It's going to be made new. It's going to become spiritual instead of physical. It's going to become immortal instead of mortal. But this body is going to be raised from the dead. And that's what 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Corinthians 15 is all about. And so the point of it is, this body is pretty important to God. He has plans, eternal plans, for the bodies that we now have. And again, there's going to be a change, but this body is going to be raised from the dead. And so notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 6 about the body. At verse 12, he says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will not have dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. And we talked about that a little bit last week from Romans chapter 8. That we're in this state of no condemnation because we're under grace instead of a meritorious law that demands perfection. And so there's a way in this dispensation and under the law of Christ, there's a way for us to be separated from sin, to escape sin, and not be under its dominion anymore. And so why would you keep going back to sin? It does matter how you live. How you use your body. That's important for every one of us. It is extremely important for all of our young people. There's a lot of pressure in the world to use the body in unholy ways. In our society today, things like premarital sex is common and something that, in fact, a lot of people think, if you don't engage in that, then you're kind of weird. There's people who are psychologists and who teach on marriage and that sort of thing, who actually teach people that you have to engage in premarital sex just to make sure before you get married that you're compatible. It's just amazing. I've told over the years of the time, it's probably been 20 years ago, I saw on one of these talk shows a mother who was bragging about the fact that she had an arrangement with her daughter. That whenever she had a boy in her room and they were involved in sexual immorality, they had a sign, something they put on the door to let her know they were in there. And she's on a public talk show bragging about that. And her reasoning was, I don't want the experiences of my daughter to be in the back seat of some car, and so we've made this arrangement. And that's a parent. That's the kind of parenting that we have in our society today. And so, young people, I know you live in this kind of society. Everybody's doing it, but you don't have to be everybody. You make up in your mind that you're going to do what Paul says. You're not going to let sin reign in your mortal body. You're going to use your body as an instrument of righteousness and never an instrument of unrighteousness. Whether you're talking about premarital sex, whether you're talking about the intake of drugs and alcohol, smoking, or whatever it is, don't use your body as an instrument of sin, because it matters how you live. We have to give our bodies to God as a living sacrifice and only use it in a way that's going to glorify Him and further the cause of Christ. And in this very practical section of the book of Romans, that's what Paul is beginning with. He's going to talk about worship, and he's going to talk about how we live in society, and he's going to talk about our obligation to the civil government, and he's going to talk about how we treat one another in Christ. And he talks about almost every aspect of life, but he begins by saying, give your body as a living sacrifice. Why? Because it matters how you live. And every day we get out of bed, we should be thinking, how I live today matters. How I talk today matters. How I dress today matters. Everything I do in this mortal body matters. I want to act like I'm somebody who has been brought from death to life. I'm somebody that has been redeemed. I'm someone who is striving to live a holy life because I've given my body over to God as a living sacrifice. How are you living your life every day? What's your determination? Paul says, I'm begging you. I beseech you, brethren, I appeal to you that you give your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. And that, of course, is what each and every one of us should do. I don't have time tonight, but I often on this text will preach on or make reference to how we can do that from a practical standpoint. So just in passing, without really getting into any of these things, just from a very practical way, I talk about how you can, how do I give my body as a living sacrifice? Give your eyes to God by making sure you only look upon things that are wholesome, things that are good, things that are pure. Remember, Paul in Philippians 4 at verse 8 talked about thinking on these things, thinking on things that are pure, things that are good, and that sort of thing. The eyes are a gateway to the mind, and so what you look upon, that's what's going to fill your mind. So give your eyes to God by looking only on things that would be pleasing to Him. Give your heart to Him. By making sure that you're focusing on spiritual things, put on the helmet of salvation so you have a pure heart. The heart, remember, biblically speaking, is the mind. You give your mind over to the Lord. You give your hands to the Lord by making sure that you are involved in working with your hands the things that are of God. You get involved in the local church. You participate in the work of the Lord. Give your hands to the Lord. Give your feet, give your legs to the Lord by running away from sin and running towards God. And give we could talk about giving your ears to the Lord. And just from a practical standpoint, how do you give your body as a living sacrifice? Those are ways that you can prove that you have really given your body to God as that living sacrifice. How we live every day is important. Every day we should think about how we're living our life. Let's not be like the various people I spoke of who basically either directly say it or through their doctrine imply it, that it doesn't matter how you live. It does. And it matters every day. And it will matter until either Jesus comes back or we stop living in this life. We want to praise God and glorify God and use our bodies as instruments of righteousness. I certainly hope we'll be determined to do that. We won't be perfect. We'll sin from time to time. But we can just repent of that sincerely, ask God for forgiveness, and He's faithful and just to forgive us. And then we get up and we start trying again, using our body only for righteousness. We can all do that. I hope that we will. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Maybe the devil still has control of your heart, your mind. Maybe you're using your body in ways that's displeasing to God. Why not change that tonight? It's a beautiful thing about it. You can do that right now. You can obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can believe in Jesus. He is that Christ. If you don't believe in Jesus, we probably need to talk a little bit more and study a little bit more about that. But if you believe in Jesus, you just have to determine you're going to repent of your sin. You're going to have a change of heart. Determine in your mind you're going to stop sinning and start serving God. Luke chapter 13 at verse 3, Acts chapter 3 at verse 19, many passages talk about repentance. You have to confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, just like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. Then you have to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And you can do all of that tonight. You can do that right now. In just a few minutes, you can be a Christian. And you can start giving your body to God as a living sacrifice. Why not do that? Make that good decision. It's the best decision you'll ever make. And you can do it right now. I hope you will. Come forward as we together stand and sing.